Good afternoon. I'd like to get started. My name is Lisa Jock Carroll. I'm a public health advisor with CDC's Immunization Services Division, and I work on perinatal hepatitis B prevention. This session is on the birth dose of hepatitis B, discussing hospital barriers and solutions. So our first speaker is Deborah Blogg. She is an MD and MPH, and she's the director of the Bureau of Immunization in New York State Department of Health. And she's going to review a recent hospital assessment that was conducted in New York State. So please welcome Dr. Deborah Blogg.
Thank you. I was just sitting there thinking that the last talk I gave was to an anti-vaccine group that was it was a hearing on personal belief exemptions, and it's a lot nicer to be talking to a friendly group. Before I get started, I just have to acknowledge Dr. Kimberly Noyes, who was the assistant director of the immunization program, assistant medical director of the immunization program, and she did the lion's share of the work on this this assessment that we did. We have since become, the immunization program has since become a bureau in our State Department of Health, so Dr. Noyes has moved on to bigger and better things and is the director of the Bureau of Communicable Disease Control, so she couldn't be here to give this presentation. Last year in 2008, we decided to do an assessment of our perinatal universal birth dose program so that we could address a number of concerns that have come up. Some of the concerns came from our regional office staff that do hospital assessments in the regions, that there were still some hospitals that were not implementing the universal birth dose completely. We also looked at some of our ordering, our vaccine ordering data, and saw that there were hospitals that ordered either no vaccine or very little vaccine, and that was of concern. And then finally, our national immunization survey results were quite low, and we were concerned about that, considering that we do have this universal birth dose policy. So to that end, I will give a brief historical overview of our program, including strategies that we have used, some of the hypothesized barriers and challenges to perinatal hepatitis B prevention that we thought might be causing problems, and then a survey of all birthing hospitals in New York State outside of New York City that we did in 2008. Everything I'm going to present does not include New York City because New York City has its own birth dose program separate from ours. This will be very familiar to many of you, but this is the rationale and the basis for perinatal hepatitis B prevention strategies, that perinatal disease passed from an infected mother to her infant leads to serious long-term health issues, that chronic carrier status is higher in those infants and can be up to 90%, and that the sequelae of liver cirrhosis, liver cancer, and death are real. HBV-infected women may be unaware of their status or deny risk factors, and mistakes in assessing their status can occur. And that post-exposure prophylaxis vaccine and hepatitis B immune globulin is extremely effective, and therefore over 95% of cases can be prevented with that birth dose. This shows a kind of historical overview of the perinatal hepatitis B prevention efforts in New York State, beginning in 1990 with the passage of Public Health Law 2500E. We began lot quality assurance monitoring, and it says 98, but we think it's 93. Our institutional memory has actually been lost on when it actually started. In 2002, we did a survey of hospitals showing that there was a cost barrier. And then in 2003, the hospital birth dose initiative was begun. ACIP recommendations for the universal birth dose were in 2005. We sent a commissioner letter from our then commissioner stating that it was the standard of care, and this birthing hospital survey was done in 2008. I'll go into a little more detail about these. So we have Public Health Law 2500E in New York State, which mandates that all pregnant women be screened for each pregnancy for hepatitis, and that all infants born to hepatitis B surface antigen positive women be treated at birth. It also requires hospitals to provide stat testing for women with unknown status and treatment of those infants, and it requires reporting of the women who are positive and their infants for tracking and follow-up. As I said, we think our lot quality assurance monitoring program was begun in around 1993. This will also be familiar to many of you and involves a systematic medical record review method to evaluate the hospital compliance with public health law and with good perinatal prevention practices. 100% of the records reviewed must contain the hepatitis B surface antigen status of both the maternal and infant record in order to pass. This review is performed by our regional state staff in cooperation with local health department staff and provides a really valuable opportunity for regional and local health department staff to interact with their local hospitals, and is of course also a valuable educational opportunity. It also provides us the opportunity to assess other variables related to immunization, including prenatal and postpartum immunization practices. And we look at Tdap, influenza, varicella, and MMR documentation, among other things. And of course, it allows us to review birth dose rates and practices. So in 2002, as I said, we did a survey of hospitals that showed that cost was a barrier to implementing a universal birth dose policy. And we then initiated our universal program in October of 2003. And with this program, we provide hepatitis B vaccine at no cost to hospitals, and the hospital is required to enroll in the VFC program. We require that in order to participate that they have a universal birth dose policy, and that the universal policy must include standing orders in place stating that all newborns, regardless of the maternal status, individual provider preference, or infant's insurance status, will be offered hepatitis B vaccine. And then parental consent is obtained as per New York State law, which does require consent, but doesn't require that a special consent be given be obtained at the time of vaccination or that it be written. So then in April of 2006, our then commissioner sent a letter to all pediatric providers and hospitals and hospital administrators and nursery administrators, everybody we could think of, saying that this is now the standard of care in New York State. And the letter strongly said that all New York State birthing hospitals should immediately comply by implementing standing orders for vaccination of all newborns with hepatitis B vaccine within 12 hours of birth. It was a very strongly worded letter. Despite that, it took several years to get up to 100% enrollment, but we did. In this chart, the green bar is the percent of hospitals participating. The white bar is the percent of the annual statewide birth cohort. And you can see that from 2007 to 2008, that those last few hospitals were real tough. They were the real resistors. So now we do have 100% enrollment of our hospitals. However, we do acknowledge that enrollment does not mean participation or active participation or promotion. And this is our national immunization survey data from including 2005, 2006, and 2007. It may be a little hard to see the colors there because they have New York State data for vaccinated within 1 day, within 2 days, and within 3 days. But the tall bar is the national average, and it doesn't really matter because you can see in all years we're quite a ways below the national average. So why do we have such low numbers? We have this robust perinatal hepatitis B prevention program. We have strong public health law. We have routine hospital monitoring, and the vaccine provided to hospitals at no cost. So what were we missing? These are some of the things that we hypothesized, things that we'd heard anecdotally or things that we imagined might be barriers. Lack of education of providers, parents, and nurses. The misconception that hepatitis B infection is no longer a problem in New York State. The misconception that hepatitis B infection is not a risk in certain locations, and this was usually the more rural parts of our state. We have our upstate ranges from urban to very few people per square mile. Complacency because New York State law requires screening of all pregnant women. Physician concerns about administering 4 doses when combination vaccines are used for follow-up doses. The desire by some physicians to administer the first dose of hepatitis B vaccine in the office rather than at birth. The physician desire to bill for that vaccine in the office. The objection to government involvement in physician practices. and that the Birth Dose Initiative requires hospitals to have standing orders, but many hospitals are not using true non-patient-specific standing orders. Many physicians are still opting out of administering the birth dose, and then finally parental fear about vaccines. So we initiated this survey to better to understand the various factors that could be contributing to our low rates. We wanted to quantify and describe the implementation of universal birth dose policies and standing orders, the existence of barriers, and then perceived effectiveness of potential remedies that we could suggest. This was an electronic survey that was distributed to all birthing hospitals via the department's Health Emergency Response Data System, or HERDS. We surveyed all medical directors and nurse managers of the newborn nursery units, and they were asked to each individually complete the same 20-question survey, so we often got two responses from the same hospital. And then we did periodic telephone follow-up to all non-responders. The survey was self-administered. It was brief, voluntary. We collected basic demographic and professional information, and information about standing orders, the usefulness and the type of standing orders, perceived barriers, and perceived effectiveness of potential strategies to address these barriers. The overall survey response was very high, 95%, and every single hospital was represented. The nurse response was slightly higher than the physician response, about 99% for nurses and 91.1% for medical directors. This slide shows some of the characteristics of the survey respondents. As I said, 47.4% were physicians, 51% were nurses. And then in terms of the specialties, pediatrics was most represented, then obstetrics, nursing, administration, neonatology, and other, with only 2.6% of the respondents being family medicine physicians. And we don't know if that's because there are so many fewer family medicine doctors in New York State, though I don't think there are that few, but more that they don't generally become the medical directors of the nursery. In terms of asking about adopting a birth dose policy, it was interesting that 2.1% said no, that they had not adopted a birth dose policy, even though that is required for participation in our program. But in terms of those who did have it, the perceived usefulness was very, about 80% said it was very, with fewer saying somewhat, not so much, and none saying not at all. In terms of the use of standing orders for hepatitis V vaccine, 2.1 again said no, even though that they were required to have it. And in terms of what type, as we suspected, 55.9%, or almost more than half, were using patient-specific standing orders, meaning that it was included with the admission orders for the newborn as a line in the orders, and that it could easily be crossed out by the admitting pediatrician. And certainly that meant it wasn't being given in the delivery room, which we consider the ideal. And then 44.1% were using non-patient-specific. We asked about the perceived barriers to the use of non-patient-specific standing orders, and this is the kind of the responses we got. That 40% said the physicians in their facility were not supported, 21.4% said physicians were unaware of the option, 14% said that the hospital was unaware, 11% said the hospital was not supportive, very few, only 5% that the nurses were not supported. And then other was about 36.7%, which was mostly the need, perception of the need for parental consent, again, that there should be some special consent given, obtained in written form at the time of vaccination. In terms of which provider completes the newborn admission orders, we found out that 92.7% of the pediatric providers under whom the newborn is admitted did it. We thought it would be much lower. We thought the delivery provider would be doing more of the admitting orders. And then, you know, that is certainly a problem because those often don't get signed until the next morning when the pediatric provider comes in to see the baby only, and they usually only come once a day. And then where is the hepatitis B birth dose given most of the time? 25.5% only in the delivery room and 74.5% in the newborn nursery postpartum unit. Does your hospital provide prenatal childbirth education classes? We want to know if the birth dose was included in any of these classes, and if not, this seemed like a good opportunity to provide that information. And most hospitals do have prenatal childbirth education classes, about 98%. and about 77% of those do include immunization in the curriculum. So in terms of perceived barriers, we asked, when infants are discharged home without receiving the birth dose, how often do you feel this is related to? And interestingly, for all this next series of slides, I should say, the answer was either frequently or occasionally or seldom or never, so only two possible answers. So lack of awareness by nursing, obstetrician, pediatricians, this did not seem to be an issue, according to the respondents. And even parents, they felt that 77% of the parents that this was not a problem. In terms of physician disagreement with recommendation, there still were 33% or so that disagreed with this recommendation, nursing disagreement being very low. But that it seemed that they all felt that parental refusal and parental preference to discuss with the pediatrician were significant factors and significant barriers. In terms of provider-related factors that worked against giving the birth dose, that the physician planned to give the vaccine in the private office was felt to be frequently or occasionally an issue. That the physician desiring to bill, though, did not seem to be an issue, and not being aware of it also was not an issue. In terms of parent refusal, what was the reason felt to be for parent refusal? Most frequently that they planned for the pediatrician to give the vaccine in the office, but equally frequent, or almost equally frequent, 65.6% was due to parental fear, and also parental fear of vaccination in general. Parental cultural beliefs and community beliefs were not felt to be a factor. This is a histogram, and it's a little confusing, so I'll try and explain it. This is to answer the question, what percentage of pregnant women presenting to labor and delivery have prior knowledge of the recommendation for all infants to receive a hepatitis B birth dose? So we were asking them to estimate what percentage of the women have knowledge ahead of time. And that big spike in the middle, it's about 42 out of 192 providers said that felt that 50% of the women who came did know about the birth dose. And then everything to the right of that big spike are increasing percentages. So I think the take-home knowledge from this slide is that the respondents felt that most women coming in did know about the hepatitis birth dose. And this slide talks about potential remedies. And education was clearly the one that was felt to be very or somewhat effective. So education about parents, prenatally, obstetrician, pediatrician, nursing, and in addition, the adoption of non-patient-specific standing orders. So our survey limitations, we do acknowledge this is asking medical directors and nurses about the attitudes of their physicians that come and practice in the hospital, so that it is somewhat subjective, if not entirely, and that this could have affected their responses. Some data reflects their best estimates and is not based on actual records or numbers. There may be limited generalizability. It may not apply to all healthcare providers in the state, therefore, and there's low representation of family physicians. In addition, there might be responder bias because the survey was conducted by the immunization program that provides the vaccine to them at no cost and could have skewed the results in a positive direction. Interestingly, after the survey was done, we began to look at our New York State Immunization Information System, or NISIS. This system became mandatory in our state in 2008, so as of January 1st, 2008. And in December 2008, Vital Statistics loaded all the birth records of infants born in New York State back to 2004, so we got this huge load. And Vital Statistics has collected the newborn hepatitis B immunization status since about 1997. So it should reflect actual birth dose administration statewide. So this shows our vital statistics reporting of hepatitis B birth dose by the hospital size. So the green bar to the left are the hospitals with the smaller birth cohorts, over to the right as they get bigger. And the one all the way on the right, the darker gray one, is all. So the rate for all from vital statistics. And the red bar across is the National Immunization Survey information. So you can see that our vital statistics reports show that we do actually have much higher rates than the NIS reported. This slide basically shows the same thing with the standard deviations and showing that we're still quite above. And this slide shows, the gray bar shows the survey estimates we asked. When we did the survey, we asked medical directors and nursing managers what you think your birth dose rate is. And obviously it was estimated a little bit higher than the vital statistics, and then the white bars, the NIS. So in terms of next steps, we have plans to use the vital statistics data and survey results to give positive feedback to those hospitals who are successfully implementing their universal dose policies, and hopefully provide impetus to hospitals with low birth dose rates to adhere to the policies they have adopted. And we see it's essential to encourage the use of non-patient specific standing orders. And also we still have more education to do to parents and providers. And we want to conduct a quality assurance review of hepatitis B immunization reporting to vital statistics and ultimately to NICIS, to our registry, and do some perhaps hospital-specific QA investigations to make sure that the vital statistics data is what's actually happening in the hospitals. We have had reports of hospitals not reporting to vital statistics more than we have the opposite way. We had a hospital recently that hadn't been reporting to vital statistics for 2007, but because of NICIS started reporting as of 2008. So we think that's more the trend. So our rates may even be higher, we hope. And then finally, we want to conduct quality assurance review of the birth doses ordered through our system versus the birth dose rates. So many thanks to these folks for survey evaluation and survey design. And finally, this is our information, and our perinatal hepatitis B coordinator, Lynn Pollock, is her contact information. She couldn't be here with us. So thank you.